Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here in Elim Church in Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Benjamin Leonard Cooper. Wow, that is a long name. When I was in trouble, my mum called me Benjamin. Now, thank you for joining us here. We are in our podcasting room at this hour, and we just want to welcome our lovely sister Leah this morning that shared a fantastic testimony that's going out today, and she's going to share some more about being a new believer.
Good morning,
a clean
Benjamin
believer.
Leonard. How art thou?
One is very fine today in sunny Swanley. Good morning, Leah. Thank you for coming to join us.
My pleasure.
Let's dive straight into what you have for us today. You know, this is great. We love doing podcasts. You know, it's just about being real, being very authentic. No airs and graces, and just be completely real, because Jesus is a real geezer.
In it?
Oh.
In it, though.
I might get a few emails about that one. Jesus is the Son of God.
No, that's the thing that I love about Jesus, is that he was actually a real person.
A real person.
Yeah.
A carpenter.
Yeah.
A son.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you think about that, in a normal family, a man with his D-Walk kit, getting in his transit, bobbing around, jobbing, whatever he was doing, he was a man. And the scripture, very rightly so, makes that very clear.
Yeah.
The man Christ Jesus, it actually points that out in a very important part of the text.
Son of man.
Oh, come on. So, Leia, you are a new, born-again, spirit-filled believer in Jesus.
I'm so on fire.
And you are lit up today. You're like, you know the Ready Brick man? It's like looking at the little Ready Brick person walking down the street.
I feel like twinkle lights all the time surrounding me. I mean, there have been some times where I pray every day that God will be with me and I'll be more faithful.
Amen.
Every single day. Make me more faithful. Make me more faithful. And I'm seeing things around me in the world that are a testimony to that faith, that are repaying me for that faith. Things that are happening. Things that I'm seeing. Signs that I'm seeing everywhere. I spoke to my friend last night and she said it's prompts. It's prompts from God. Follow the signs. Go in that direction.
Wow. It's really interesting what you're saying about seeing, because God uses everything in the world to speak to us, everything creation. Now, I know you're into cameras and you're just getting into all that sort of stuff. You take some great pictures. So,
thank you.
Well, what I see, what you're posting on social media and what we talk about, I can clearly see God speaking to you through creation.
Exactly. I'm seeing the design of the world that God created, the universe. It's not even the world. It's not even the tiniest blade of grass.
How do you explain it?
It's not even me. It's not even the hairs on my head. It's the universe.
And it's so vast.
It's all the stars in the sky.
And you know,
he knows them all by name.
It does. And do you know, the Old Testament says that he is continually stretching out the heavens. So it's expanding.
Yeah.
So when you've got these scientists and these great thinkers and learners looking and all that, you're never going to get to the end of it.
No. Exactly.
Because our Lord is expanding out the universe. You can't catch him.
No.
It's impossible.
Exactly. We have conversations quite often about our faith when the services that I record with you, when they're done, we have a little chat sometimes about faith, sometimes before, about faith, about what's happened to us during the week. And those are the things that I want to talk about. So I want to talk about how my faith grew, because, I've turned... Last time I spoke to you, we were talking about the fact that I turned my heart to Jesus.
That's a massive thing, a complete turn.
It is, but it was only the first step. You can't just go, I'm a Christian and that's it. You've got to be an everyday Christian.
It's a journey. Mm. We're on a journey.
And when you have that everyday, 7 days a week Christianity, that love within you, that is something that can't be measured. And that's what we talk about quite often. Science can try and measure faith.
Yeah, and we need the science to educate us. We need the science and biblical fact run so close together.
Why can't they go hand in hand?
They do.
Why is science always trying to depose God?
No, that depends on the scientist.
Oh, really?
That depends on the scientist.
I like that.
Now, that is a different story altogether. There are some fantastic Christian scientists out there that prove Genesis so smoothly.
Yeah.
And then we've got the atheists trying to disprove.
Yeah.
I listened to an atheist TED talker about a year ago, a young scientist, and he said, I've been interested in science all my life. I come from a family of scientists, atheist scientists.
Mm.
And he said, I have to be honest. Now we're coming to the question, does God exist?
Yeah.
Because they've tried every formula they can think of. They've done every equation. They've looked at everything. And he openly said that in a TED talk. And I wish to this moment I could remember what his name was. But it was he was an interesting guy.
Mm.
He wasn't being horrible. He wasn't being arrogant about Christianity. But obviously he and a lot of scientists want to prove that God, you're joking. No, this is all...
But the thing is, when they go in hand in hand,
whatever you want to call,
when scientists can create medicines and treatments,
yeah,
you know, one of the things I really like about this church is that we don't believe in prosperity gospel or
no.
People saying that they can cure cancer and things like that. That's not right. But when God works with scientists and creates medications and cures, etc. It's just
Wow. You come onto that subject of that drug marijuana, and all that. God uses plants and herbs. He uses what he created for healing.
He created it all for a reason.
Yeah. So when we talk about creation, it is there for a purpose.
Yeah.
It is there for humanity to use. It's a plan. It's there. So God uses science. He actually uses the pharmaceuticals to a certain degree, but then, you know, on every level of life, you've got abuse on all sides of things. So who was one of the disciples? Doctor.
Was he?
Come on. So when he uses medicine. So when you look who God chose all around the table, there was every walk of life. And what's really, really important to understand, God uses medicine. And when you were talking about that big subject at cancer, you know where I work in the world of palliative care as well. And so I see, without going into the wheels of it, I see so much stuff and I'm praying all the time, God, do a miracle. God, do a miracle. Yeah. But should I tell you what the miracle is?
What?
I've learned. I know what the miracle is.
Go on.
When someone gives their life to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not healing of the body. It's not the earth suit. It's not this skin that I'm in.
Yeah.
It's the inner person.
Yeah.
So I'm actually seeing miracles all the time. I see miracles because it is not about the lump disappearing. We want all that, and that does happen, and God does move powerfully in that area.
Mm.
We hear stories all that, but when you study Christ and you look at in the New Testament about how many people he actually walked by that he didn't heal, that is a vast amount of people.
Yeah.
So they're for signs and wonders, and they're not for everyday, you know, abusive ministry thing to get money through the door. So that is where, in the world of palliative care, that is where the miracle lies.
Mm.
Is the and you have had that change.
Yeah.
There's a crossover.
Exactly.
From that side of the cross to the right side of the cross. That's the miracle.
When I first started attending the church properly, one of the things I really liked was you said, don't come to church for me.
No.
Don't come to church for religion. Don't come to church to see your friends. Come to the church for Jesus.
It's all about Jesus.
Oh, lights went on in my head when you said that. They really did. And it was at that point that I started, from listening to the way that the Bible was interpreted, because it is, and from listening to the stories, I thought, this is a beautiful book. Oh, my goodness, the poetry in it. I've got an English degree. I know I sound like an old fishwife.
No. But, no, we must clear this up. This is really important. You are unique. You've got your own DNA. God created you. So you are perfect.
Thank you very much.
In all your ways, because you are a child of the living God. And we need to be really careful about that.
Yeah.
And what I'm referring to is, I get a lot of people in the world where in the church world where they think you've got to be educated, you've got to be this. The Bible says he chose the foolish things.
Jesus was a man as well.
So your voice, your dictation, your pronunciation, you are perfect because he created you. Come on, girl, let's get in.
What I'm trying to say is,
what are you saying?
That as somebody that has an appreciation of English, What a beautiful book. What a perfectly written, beautiful, poetic, gorgeous book.
Exactly.
So I'm listening to it and I'm thinking, this is speaking, this is resonating with me, oh my goodness. Then I got my own copy. And I started, as everybody does when they open a Bible, you start with the Old Testament.
Oh.
And it was like,
oh, the Old Testament.
So shocking.
What's all this blood and sacrifice and fighting and pillaging and beating?
Fear. It was just God punishing people, God wiping people off the face of the earth, God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. Joseph going through everything he went to.
Yeah.
Not Joseph, father of Jesus, but Joseph in his technicolor, his techno coat.
Yeah. It's amazing though, isn't it?
The Old Testament
is amazing, you know? It's a fantastic book. It's absolutely phenomenal.
It's like the most, if it was a book club, you'd say it was the most amazing adventure story, saga of all time.
They can't print it quick enough. The persecuted church, they can't get their hands on it quick enough. I've seen videos where they get cases smuggled into certain places around the world and the cases come in, they unzip the case and there are people just piling on the Bibles and they're fighting over a Bible because...
Worse than the toilet rolls at Asda.
Yeah. I'm going to rugby tackle me gran for a loo roll at the beginning of COVID. Man, you're not having that.
But I want this Bible more.
But it's fierce because it's... Well, I don't like to use this word, but it's all they have. And that sounds so terrible. All they have is the Bible, but all they have is everything they need. So they're stripped back of everything. But this spiritual book, it's speaking. It's speaking from Genesis to Revelation. So you had a little prose through the Old Testament.
I had a shock, to be honest with you. And it made me double take. And I thought, is this right? Because there's lots of talk about the sword.
Yeah.
There's lots of talk about sacrifice. And then I was coming to church and you were really concentrating on the armour of Christ at the time.
Yeah. This is really important, the armour.
And the battle and the armour, wearing the armour, always suit yourself in the armour, carry the sword. And I was thinking, I work in, part of my job is to try and stop terrorists from joining the police force.
Yeah.
So I am listening to this and thinking... Are we not trying to be talking about love?
Love. Where's love? He's talking
Where's
about swords.
He's talking about swords and battles and
fights.
And then you realise when you go into Ephesians and really look at it that it's an armour based on faith.
Yeah, that's it.
The shield.
Spiritual.
It's about preparing yourself for going into the world where you are going to be persecuted.
Yeah, and when we talk about the world, we're referring, because the Bible makes it very clear, our fight, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in heavenly places. So when that scripture was birthed, that was where he was sitting in chains looking at a Roman soldier, and he was using that as helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, you know, feet fitted with the sandals of the gospel of peace. Do you know what I mean? He didn't have white socks on. Must make sure that soldier didn't have white socks on. So that's bad dress code, isn't it? That is no good. The sword of the spirit. So that's what we're talking about. The sword of the spirit.
And it's not about physical. That's the thing as well. It wasn't about a physical sword. No. It's not about Sikhism where they actually do have to carry a dagger as part of their faith.
Correct. It's not that.
Yeah. It's about carrying the double-edged sword of God's word with you,
and that
everywhere you
go, it's so clear in the word that the Bible is the sword, the spirit,
and it will strip everything else away until it's just you and God, and that's the importance of life. Is that not what it's all about?
I am the vine dresser.
And then you realise that Abraham, the story of Abraham sacrificing his son,
gosh,
like that is the harshest story in the Bible, surely. And we had this whole discussion about how would you know if that was actually God speaking to you, saying, I want you to take your son up to a hill, put him on an altar, sacrifice him for me. And
my temperature's rising thinking about that text.
Mm. What? Why is God asking somebody to do this? And then you realise...
A faith test.
In the New Testament...
Yes.
God sacrifices his own son.
For
the sake of us.
That's right.
To save us.
Yeah.
And you realise the agony that Abraham went through as a human being proving.
Yeah, and there's a beautiful part in that, that narrative where Abraham, his son, is, you can imagine his son, you know, son's carrying the firewood, got everything.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, we got all the kit. Where's the sack?
Where's
and
the
Abraham
lamb,
made it very, very clear. He said, God will provide.
And he did.
That is faith at a level that I just shocks me, shakes my bones when I think about that. God will provide.
Yeah. But that's the way that we've had to live during this lockdown, during this COVID times. We have had to live on the strength of God will provide. And I know it's not the same. It's not the same as like sacrificing yourself.
Well, I actually,
but in everything, you can take a sign from the Bible.
Faith is faith.
Mm.
We might be believing that we've got an Abraham experience going on here, or we might be believing for God's just going to make me feel better today. Faith is faith.
Yeah.
A mustard seed, and God dropped that seed in your spirit, your heart, your being, your complete body. And now you're on this journey. You're on a journey like Abraham, aren't you? You're just on this journey that you're living by faith.
Well, during the really hardest times of COVID,
yes,
when there was nothing on the shelves, nothing. You'd go into the supermarket and it would be like, oh, mother, Hubbard's cupboard.
What
there
is
was
going
nothing
on
there.
We've never experienced it, have we?
I walked into the supermarket after work and I prayed to God, please provide me with something. Now, I have terrible allergies. Like, there's
we
so
know.
Many things I can't eat.
Yeah.
I walked into that supermarket and there was nothing on the shelves apart from the food I could eat, apart from the things that I could eat. When I got to the checkout, the woman at the checkout said to me, did you get everything you needed today? With a little smile on her face. And I said, yeah, because God will provide everything according to my needs.
Whoa!
And she went to me, God looked down on you and said to everybody else shopping today, leave that, that's for my daughter. Leave that, that's for my daughter.
You had that conversation in Asda?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Asda.
Exactly.
Thank God.
In the middle of a coronavirus lockdown, with everything's been stripped away, you find another Christian.
Exactly. God provided. Now, I think that's really important to pause a second on this story that we got. Yours is great.
That's all
great
right.
Story we got. It's really important, and it just that just shows me one thing very clear. Whatever world that we work in, it is always important to let our light shine.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is to speak about Jesus, because how did that edify you? That boosted you
up.
Oh,
my goodness.
Out of all
I had to share that
all
testimony
the guys and girls in Asda, how many happened to be a believer?
Exactly.
You can't work certain things out. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
But I'm really lucky, because where I work as well, when I started to tell people I'm a Christian, suddenly all these heads started popping up above the parapet and saying, do you believe in God? Yeah baby, totally.
I
really do. And there's now about 5 or 6 people who have come out and said, come out,
whoa,
and said, yeah, me too, yeah, I'm
me
a Christian
too.
Yeah, I'm a
Jesus
Christian
believer.
And we can just look at each other and go, God is good. And the strength that can give you when you're in the middle of a really difficult case, you're looking at something really nasty, and you're starting to question, well, why is the world like this? And then all of a sudden somebody comes up, gives you a really lovely bit of testimony, and you can say, God is good.
That's why it's important. That comes back to that same story in Asda, that we have a choice to talk about our faith. Now, she could have blanked you and could have been a right misery and just wandered off, but she, at that moment, you know what, so it's important wherever we are in the workplace as believers, and especially now where we sit in end times, is to really let the world know that we are disciples.
Yeah.
We are children of the living God.
Let it shine.
We're daughters and sons. Let your light shine for Jesus.
Yeah. It's beautiful. But I can't explain all the things that God has provided me with since I've become a Christian.
It's impossible.
I mean, it's the signs that I'm seeing. And now I've started to drive down the road. I go on prayer drives.
I know. I've been watching.
Yeah. My friend used to go on prayer walks. And I thought, well, I'm a bit overweight, so I'm going to go on prayer drives instead.
No, but you can get further.
It's all right.
You can get further.
Yeah, I know.
You can go further.
But when I'm driving anywhere now, if I see somebody walking up the road and they're really struggling or whatever, I pray for them.
As you bypass, yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, in the name
of Jesus.
I pray
for them all the time. And suddenly I'll be driving along and I'll see something like the moon will poke out from behind a tree. I'll be driving down a really dark lane and I've got no idea where I am. It's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm driving back from Deal or Hastings or somewhere.
Where
and
am I?
I always take the little roads.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of like, this is complete pitch blackness and I don't know where I am. And all of a sudden I'll look up and the moon will be like...
pop up. Bang.
Yeah. Or the sun will poke through something and it will be like God's eye looking at me. And I feel blessed. I feel like it's shining on me.
Because he created that. That is his way where he speaks as well. God speaks through everything. He speaks through everything, you know. He will talk through a wall. He will talk through a flower. He will speak through the landscape that's in front of you. So it's very interesting that when people have got depression and anxiety, a lot of things that are given out are obviously a lot of pharmaceuticals, but the best medicine anyone could ever do is to go and sit on a hillside or on a coast and just look at creation and be still.
Exactly.
And just look, because that feeds your spirit.
Yeah.
That is so supernatural when you look. Like sometimes I stand in my back garden, you know where I live, right in the centre of...
But you can always find something beautiful there.
And then I look across the fence lines, I look up above the natural level of earth.
Yeah.
And I could get a bit disappointed with what natural things I see. But as I look up and I look into the sky.
Yeah.
I see the clouds. And then, like you said, I see the moon. I see the sun. And I might see an aircraft. Just, and you think, the world is amazing.
It's perfect.
So when you look up.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, keep your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith.
Mm.
And also the psalmist says, keep your eye, look to the hills.
Mm.
So looking up. So when you look up, you are leaving the natural down.
That's it, yeah.
And you're looking into this supernatural, you're looking into the world.
I just think God's design is so perfect. It is so perfect, down to the tiniest little grain of sand.
Yeah.
The little flowers, the design of the flowers that I take pictures of, and
you can't,
up to the sky. It's
and
just
that's only
such
what
a beautiful,
we can see with our eye.
Yeah.
And what about when you go into the ocean and things like that?
Oh,
the ocean.
That is, we don't know that
we
much about it.
We don't know about it. We just look across the surface, don't we?
Yeah.
But then you get occasional glimmer where someone has gone, you know, on a dive abroad and you see these beautiful creations, the colours and the world is unbelievable.
Yeah, and the thing that really amazes me is that they're still discovering animals.
Yes.
At the bottom of the trenches in the deepest part of the sea.
Yeah.
And yet they have the arrogance to say we can divide the earth into scientific things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can examine everything.
Yeah.
But
so you
the
are
power.
There is you are having a real awakening, a real spiritual awakening.
I feel like I'm sort of like being filled with God's love.
The Lord.
And I feel like when I talk to other people about it regenerates.
Yes.
And there's nothing that can measure that. There's nothing that can measure that. And that, to me, that feeling, that is the greatest proof that God exists. I mean, never mind all the signs, never mind the gifts that he's given me, but that feeling that resonates within your heart.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And what
capital A, awesome.
Capital A. We can even spell today. Right, do you know what? When I look and listen to Leia, what really interested me, guys and girls that's listening, is that you're probably going to get a bit of trouble for saying this, but, you know, the Lord is with me. Who can be against me? You're not stained with the church brush.
No. No.
Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
You haven't got the tarry brush of different denominations, you know, tarring you this way, tarring you that way.
There's no guilt with me.
You're just, can I say this? You've popped out of the world and into Christianity.
Yeah.
And you've got no baggage. You've got no church baggage.
No.
You've got no religious concrete around you. So you're seeing, you know, you're just having this crash of a weight of an opening. And then what
I feel like newborn.
Yeah.
I feel like a newborn. And I feel like completely clean. It's weird. And I mean, I haven't been baptised.
No.
But I feel
yet.
I sent you that message.
Yeah.
I feel...
You can't describe it, really, can you?
I can't describe it.
When you really describe that, so when I look at you, Leanne, and I would put myself next to you, and what I mean by that is I'm looking at the years I've been in the world of church and religion and become a robotic, you know, whatever way you want to put that. I love the fact that you've just popped. I call it like a popping from the world with no tar, with no, you know. And the reason I use tar, because tar is stringy and, you know, it is like, it's hard work.
Yeah,
and
you're not, you mean, yeah.
So you've got no junk in your head of...
There's no hooks in, mate.
There's no hooks. Yeah. That church done it that way. That they done it that way down there, and they're going against them there. So what, I'm here, but they're not right. I'm right. So, you know, and
do you know what, though? I mean, I haven't... people say to me, I post the things on the Facebook sites and stuff, and a lot of people say to me, yeah, but you can post these positive things because you've never had anything bad happen to you. But that's not true.
That's not the right thing to say.
I feel lucky because I feel like I'm clean and I'm an I can person. I am. But that doesn't mean to say that I haven't had nasty things happen in my life. It just means that I am a positive... My mum says that I'm all or nothing. I am that
all
person,
or nothing.
All or nothing. And I think that's the way you... If you want to make positive change in life, you've got to be that way.
And you embrace it.
Yeah.
And you do it.
I have embraced.
And yeah, you've had some real enormous great things, without going into all that. Enormous great things. But what I see with you is someone that... I see this all the time without the church tar. Church tar, religious tar. You're free.
Yeah.
And I know the scripture says who the Son sets free is free indeed. I get all that. So all those that are listening, I understand that. And I'm not chained down with religion. But what it does, it messes with your head.
Yeah. It takes a lot of effort to let loose the strains that have held you back in the past. Mine are not religious. But there's still struggles. It takes such a lot of effort.
Of course it does. And then to get
those hooks out of your flesh.
Yeah.
And that's where they are. And they do drag you down. And they do. They do pull you in all sorts of directions.
Yeah, so whether you've got a hook of church, a religion, or a hook of the world, it's still a hook, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
you've
it.
Still, you've still got world, it. So yeah. Whatever you've got, it's still a hook.
You have to work through that stuff.
And you have to work through that. And that's what we're talking about, a journey with Jesus.
Yeah, but I feel
life
like
is
if
a journey.
You trust in Jesus and you take on wholeheartedly that message of everything... If you turn to me and you love me with all of your heart, everything can be forgotten. Everything has already been forgiven. I've already taken it all on and forgiven you for it.
It was done at Calvary.
Yeah. And that blows my mind. And the fact, we were talking before, you did a sermon and you were talking about the fact that God planted the tree. God created the seed that planted the tree.
Exactly.
That grew the tree. Made the light and the water that grew that tree
exactly.
to turn it into the cross that he knew that his son was going to be sacrificed on.
That tree was labelled before time. When you really think about that seed was labelled, that moment, that exact area where that cross was going to sink into, that earth, that hole that was dug, everything was lined up.
Yeah.
And that tree that Christ was hanging on was his tree.
Wow. If I believe
that was his wood.
100% and I have 100% faith, which I do,
yes,
which is what we're talking about today, is the faith, then I believe that, then what can I do that can ever compare to the sacrifice and the pains that he went through, knowing that he was going to go through it?
Yeah.
That is the thing that just gives me strength every day, every single day. I think, well, if Jesus could go through that for me, then I can... get up early on a Sunday and go to church.
Exactly. So coming back to that cross,
it
all happened at the cross. So when you see pictures of our Lord on the cross, I often think of the wood.
Upsets me. I go
beyond Christ, because actually I do blank that because I can't cope with it.
Yeah.
So I go beyond that and go behind and look at the tree.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, that tree that Christ is hanging on is his tree.
Yeah.
The seed was planted.
Exactly.
Whether it blew in off of a pollinator, whatever, we ain't got a clue how that seed.
I know.
Only God and Jesus knows about that seed that fell to that ground, that made that tree pop up, where it was cut from, you know, and the men, you know, and the labour that was involved in cutting the tree.
Yeah.
And
making the nails.
Yeah. Everything that went in to that cross experience, it was God made.
It was.
And the minerals knew, from the
he
earth.
Knew.
He knew.
He knew exactly what pain was.
You're talking about the blacksmith forging and making them spikes, them nails, you know, in the fire, them nails in the fire.
It was all predestined.
Gosh.
All of it was predestined, and all of it was for you and me and the people listening to this now.
Yeah.
and the people that I pray for on the way to work.
Hallelujah.
And the things that I see around the world. God's plan is so beautiful.
His ways are higher than our ways. You know, and you're going to Jeremiah, you know, it's talking about a nation, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it's talking about a nation there, talking about Israel and all them that go around there, about blessing that nation. But we can also make that very personal. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you in any way, but to give you hope and a future. But then he says, if you follow me with all your heart, that is the challenge for the church and humanity, to follow Jesus with all your heart. And that's not to say that you're not going to have trials and strains and pains and all that, but you
can
overcome.
And that's what the Old Testament is all about. Because when you go back to the Old Testament, it's not easy.
No, it's not.
It's not easy to follow God in the Old Testament. The things that Joseph went through.
Yes, I mean, his family.
His brothers. His family tried to murder him. He was put in prison.
Yeah.
He was double-crossed by, you know, that is a hard life.
And
yet his faith remained strong throughout the entirety of it.
And God used him all the way through. Yeah.
And isn't that life? Isn't that
is
real
life?
The struggles that people go through. We all have issues with our family. We all have issues with our work. We all have issues with society. But if we continue to follow God and do everything with love, then he will hold our hand and
guide us.
Guide us through it.
Guide us with the journey. Can I quickly backpedal a minute?
You mentioned something.
No, sorries. We're just chatting. No, she's fantastic.
I'm on fire today.
She's lit up. She's lit up. The chair's on fire. Right, the question I got, you mentioned something about a Bible. Before you was a believer, did you have a Bible in the house?
When I was little, we were given a Gideon's Bible.
Comes back that word. I've got to hold a moment. Gideon's.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
We done a podcast yesterday with a good friend of ours, Simon.
Did you?
And we was talking about Gideon's, and we must just encourage anyone who's listening to support the Gideon's ministry, because they give out Bibles. They're the guys that give the Bibles into the hotels, the schools. They're the little, you know, that go everywhere. So it's really important, the Gideon's Bible. So this is interesting.
So what happened was, I was at school and we were at assembly, and some guy came in and said, gave a little talk about the Bible, and then handed us all a Gideon's Bible, and off we went. Swanee School. Lower school, which is opposite this building and then I got home and I thought, I like reading, I'll have a look at this. And I opened it up and just any page, random, boof. And the reading was, and Jesus said, ask and you shall receive.
Hang on a minute. This has made us go a little bit quiet. So the Bible that you was given...
Gideon's. Still got it, couldn't throw it away.
No, you opened it.
Yeah.
And it said what?
Ask and you shall receive.
All them years.
Yeah.
And you closed it. Put it to the side.
Yeah. What?
It's just amazing, isn't it, how the word speaks. All them years ago, as a young person.
I remember that.
Now that is so important, because this is to encourage the guys in the Gideons, because they are the unseen. I don't like to use the word heroes, but it's just for a quick terminology.
Well, some of because these kids have never had a Bible ever in their lives. I didn't.
So this needs to be heard, and we want to thank God for the Gideons over the years, their faithfulness of going in. So look at that. So that Bible was given to you.
Yeah.
And that's just one that we know about. And then you've got hundreds and thousands of school kids over the generations been given Gideons, Gideons. The seed is the word of God.
Yeah, that's true.
And you remember that?
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do. And I ask every single day, and I receive. Whoa.
It's mad. I don't like to use that word mad, but it's mad. I'm just being a man at the minute.
My world just expanded.
It's expanding.
Seriously.
So the word of God is the most beautiful, amazing. How do you sum up that? I'm not educated.
My vocabulary is very limited.
It's very, I'm very restricted.
It's more portentous. It teaches us. It's guidance. This is the thing.
It's everything.
It's a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Like from beginning to end.
Yeah.
But also, it's true.
Science.
But also, it teaches us. It's a guidebook for how to live.
Yeah.
But also, it's really poetic and beautifully written. It's so lovely the way it's written, honestly. And also, this is the thing that astounds me, is that I can take any reading of the Bible and I can apply it to my life.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And but this is like 2,000 years later, it's still 100% relevant. 100% relevant.
It is so relevant. And then if you go back further and further and further, you trace it back thousands and thousands of years. It goes back so far.
Yeah.
It goes back so far, you know. And then you get into the question of, oh, it's a big subject, you know, where they say the world was created only 6,000 odd years ago.
Mm.
Mm. There's a conversation chat. So the Bible is like thousands of years old, but it is so relevant for culture, for living, for life, for guidance.
But personally it's, relevant. That's the thing that amazes me. It's personally relevant.
Personally it relevant speaks, to all humanity.
There's so many times I speak to people in on a Sunday, well, I did when we had the lovely pleasure, and said, I felt like he was really speaking to me. And other people have said, no, I felt that. No, I felt that. No, I felt that. It's so relevant to all of us on a personal level about the nitty-gritty of life. That's the thing. It's the nitty-gritty. Yeah. It's the tiny choices. That's what faith has taught me.
Wow.
If I'm going to close this down, this is what faith has taught me. It's the tiny choices that you make every day.
Yes.
To do everything, not in a, like, what would Jesus do way.
No,
but
in a, not in
but
a...
in a loving way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Am I going to open my heart up?
In
or am I going to close it down?
Living for Jesus.
Yeah. Am I going to trust God with this decision?
Yeah.
Or am I going to look at it with human eyes?
And be full of fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And trusting God and opening my heart has opened avenues in my life.
Amazing.
That were not open before.
Yeah.
When and you, it's tiny things.
You were just talking about the way the Bible spoke, and you spoke on Sunday mornings to others, and they say it was talking to me. Mm. Now, what we've got to remember is we're a very multicultural church.
Yeah, exactly.
So, interestingly, the Bible is speaking to all cultures, all ages, wherever you come from around the world, the Bible speaks personally, directly to, not to a set ethnicity, not to a set culture. It talks to humanity.
Yeah.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, we love that. So it speaks
I love that, Bob.
It speaks to everybody, as you were saying.
Throughout history.
It doesn't leave anybody out.
No, throughout history. Though.
Throughout history. And even the little babies that are being born today. When you think about that one.
Yeah.
The children, the little babies that are coming in the world today. Christ died on the cross for them.
Yeah.
Before I knew you, before you were formed in your mummy's womb.
Yes.
I knew you.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. So he went to the cross before.
Just blows your mind. Yeah.
Anyone. You know, it just like always comes back to the cross, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The cross says so much. Yeah. It's such a powerful. So you're on a phenomenal journey with Jesus.
I am.
And we started out and we were talking about, and I didn't want to say them, but you know, if anyone wants to know who the disciple was, it was Luke, referring to the physician. You know, and it's very interesting, you know. So Christ called all walks of all life. So there you go.
Mm.
Christ is the word. He called tax collectors. He called fishermen. He called, you know, all types. When he called his disciples, there was a bag of everything.
Mm.
So God, and that same thing what we were just talking about, Christ talks to everybody. Exactly. He uses everybody.
Even the person he knew was going to betray him. That's the thing as well.
Oh, Judas.
He knew.
He knew him before.
He was going to betray
before
him.
Before he popped out of mummy's womb.
You were necessary.
He was chosen.
You were necessary for this to happen.
You was necessary for the scriptures to be fulfilled.
Yeah, exactly.
Even like, then you get on, I won't even mention that word. I won't get into that one today. But, you know, so if anyone, you know, we've got people listening out, they go, oh yeah, we know who that was. It's Luke. So if you read Luke, you will read that and you'll find a little, we don't know too much about Luke. He pops up in Acts as well, so he's really an interesting guy to study, but he was a physician. So we clearly know that God uses doctors, nurses, healthcare workers. He uses all that because he chose one to follow him. So it's really important. It's really important just to make that really, really clear. Really, really
clear.
It's
so inspiring.
Yeah, it's the book above any other book.
It is.
And then you've got the name within the book. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, on the earth, under the earth, through the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, we've had a great chin wag.
Yeah.
we have reached the end of our little chat.
We've gone all around the houses.
All
around God's houses.
And how, and what would you say, closing this today, what advice would you give to anyone?
Just open your heart. Yeah. You'd take that first step last time we were talking about it, which is turning your heart to Jesus. Then you've got to open it.
Yeah.
And you've got to open it every day.
Praise God.
Every single day, 24/7. Trust in him.
Leah, it's been a great Saturday chatting with you, and we praise God for your life and all your family and your work colleagues and the way God is using you on the journey of life. And we thank you for everyone listening. You've been joining myself, Ben Cooper, and Leah with a heart on the podcasting table, and you'll catch us in a week or so's time. We'll continue this journey. So stay safe, stay under the blood, stay in the Word of God, and never give up in Jesus. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.